WeMakeTheFunny.com presents Let's Chat Comedy.
Hosted by K.L. Thomas.
Welcome back to Let's Chat Comedy. I'm chilling with Paul Valenti, one of my favorite people here in New York City. Love him to death, and we're going to talk about his new show that's going to Edinburgh, The Long, Miserable Journey to Happiness. Say hello to the world, Paul.
Hello, world. Thank you for having me, KL.
So, Paul, you have been to Edinburgh before in 2011, and you were there with the Chris and Paul show, which is a duo that you started here in New York about, I don't know, maybe 10 years back, we could say?
Yeah, we've been working together for longer than that. We met in 99, and we've been working together for, oh my gosh, probably a good solid 15 years.
And you guys headed out there, and you actually got a critical acclaim for your show for Best Newcomers. And after that, that taste of what Edinburgh was all about, did you know you're going to go back as a solo after that experience?
I had no idea I was going back. When we went in 2011, I had no idea we were going to go back in 2012. But they asked us, we would like you back. We're going to try to get you guys out there more. And it was a great experience. I think the first experience was better because it was so unknown to us. The second year, we just got a lot of stuff thrown at us, so we didn't know what to do with it. The best thing that came out of it was Chris got Book of Mormon, and then while he's gone, I was able to start writing my solo stuff, and that's when the idea settled in and go, well, if I'm not able to go back with the Chris and Paul show just yet, maybe I can take something solo there. And so I started developing that around late 2013, early 14.
For those who don't know who the Chris and Paul show, it was a comedy duo here in New York that actually you guys won quite a bit of festivals and very popular, sold out shows, very vaudeville style. And, you know, you in your press release for your show that's going to Edinburgh, you say that, you know, Laurel and Hardy and Buster Keaton style. When I met you and saw the Chris and Paul show, you've always had like that Sid Caesar kind of thing going on. And I thought maybe it was just the way, because you guys were a duo, but then as you were going on solo here in New York City, performing like at Sketch Block and other places like The Pit, UCB, you seemed to carry that physical comedy and silence. And was that something that just like enamored you as a child, and that's why you brought it over as an adult in comedy?
Yeah, so yeah, I do say Laurel and Hardy and Buster Keaton, those are right now very influenced, that I've been watching a lot the last couple of years. But just, yeah, Sid Caesar was a huge part. I started watching the Three Stooges in second grade because I wanted to be cool. I was sitting next to a friend of mine at the time. I still know him. We're Facebook friends now. This kid, Pino Soro. And one of the first things I remember him asking me, he goes, hey, do you watch the Three Stooges? And I looked him straight in the eye and lied, yes. But I moved, so I don't know what channel they're on. Can you tell me? So he told me the channel, and I got home the next day. The next morning, I said, Mom, wake me up for the next morning. I want to watch The Three Stooges. So she was more than happy to wake me up because she knows I don't like to wake up for school. But I woke up for this because I wanted to fit in. I was blown away. It was actually a Shemp one, but I still loved it. So our friendship bonded over the Three Stooges, and he was Mo and I was Larry. And then I discovered Curly, and I go, well, I want to be Curly now. So I knew of Laurel and Hardy. I knew of Abba Costello. I only knew a little bit of Laurel Hardy because Babes in Toyland was a big thing. And then Three Stooges. And then a few years later, I was in a show, and someone says, oh, you have timing. This is like probably just after high school. You have timing like Sid Caesar. I'm like, who's Sid Caesar? And the guy looked at me and goes, oh, you need to see this guy. So we, after a cast party, he showed me some VHS tapes of Sid Caesar.
You're so old.
Oh, boy. I don't feel as physical as I am. I'm very lucky I don't feel, because I do a lot of stretching, and luckily I try to be safe. But yeah, I wish I was as wise as my age, because maybe I wouldn't be doing this physical stuff. I may feel it in about 20 years, but I'm okay right now. So what I was saying, what was I saying? I was saying that...
you discover Sid Caesar.
Yeah, when I discover Sid Caesar, I go, oh, there's a whole world out there that I didn't know. And that's when I started doing, you know, Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd. Yeah, a little bit of Charlie Chaplin I heard already. All these great comedians. Martha Ray, which blew my mind. Everyone knew Lucille Ball. But before Lucille Ball, there was a wonderful comedian, physical comedian, Martha Ray. And if anyone likes Lucille Ball, watch Martha Ray. Incredible.
I discovered her, I think, when I first got to New York. Someone mentioned her, and I YouTubed her, and I was blown away. Yeah. Love her.
Yeah. Also with Sid Caesar, Imogene Coca.
Yes.
She's incredible. And so I noticed... the physicality that I really took that in, and I started when I started working in corporate offices. I was never much of a joke teller, but I was very much I like doing funny things visual, and I can quickly do that. So working in the mailroom, I would walk by the admins and I would do something like carry a bunch of empty boxes as I'm doing the paper, because my job was so mundane, I had to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And so I would walk with like 3 or 4 boxes, and I would fall, and the boxes would go all over the place. And the admins appreciated it. Instead of, you know, saying something like, hey, how you doing? And with a joke, I would just visually do something, and they would get a kick out of that.
Chilling with Paul Valenti, talking about his show that he's gearing up for Edinburgh, The Long Miserable Journey to Happiness, and what influences him with his comedy of the past. Paul, when you were starting to do improv here in New York and learning about sketch, and you started bringing in all the physical things that you learned and all the people that you watched, did you find it refreshing that the audience, even though how young they can be, totally were on board with this old style of comedy?
Yeah, because I wasn't surprised, because I really think it's funny how a younger audience doesn't know, and I feel like I'm getting away with something. Like, well, you're doing this great thing no one ever done before. I'm like, well, people have been doing it 100 years ago. But I definitely would tell them, no, you have to see Buster Keaton, you have to see Sid Caesar, you have to see Laurel Hardy. These are people that definitely inspire me, and I have my own take on it. And the work ethic behind what they do, they work clean. It wasn't mean-spirited. It was all in just a struggle. And I've seen all these comedians struggle, and that's... And for me, that's funny. Even when, you know, something like I go open the refrigerator door and something falls out and, you know, it gets messy and I get mad. But then you can look back at it and it's funny, because it's just something that we all, you know, everyone always has a struggle with, you know, something little like that. So it wasn't great stakes, but it was something that was just simple, and he made it impossible. Like, there's a great scene where Laurel and Hardy push a piano up the stairs, where there's probably 14 different ways to do that easily, but they chose to take the stairs. And that's going to my show. I'm struggling to do these bits that my character may not 100% know what to do, but it's the struggle of him trying to make people happy. So it's this long, miserable journey to happiness. Comedy is a very, very hard thing. And you have to be a little bit crazy to think you're just going to go on stage and make people laugh. I mean, I've met so many comedians, and they go on stage and coming up. And I'm sure people cringe at my stuff, and I'm Chris and Paul. We were cringing at our stuff. It just takes a lot of work to do something. So I wanted to show that struggle through my character.
Let's dive more into your character. This is like a nearly silent 60-minute performance that you're going to be at Edinburgh with, and it's a free show, correct?
Yes, it's part of the Free Fringe. Mm-hmm. Chris and I did the the other fringe, and there's a lot more fees attached to that and a lot more expensive. And since I'm going alone and I don't have the back air I had last time, I figure this might be a little bit away. And also I'm doing crowdfunding to help me go. But now I'm taking all the knowledge that I learned for that 2 years, and then things I've learned over the last few years to apply to this run in Edinburgh, and hopefully get a run out there somewhere, whether it be somewhere in Europe, UK, or I'd love to do something in Germany or France and wherever they'll take me.
We're a little bit of whores. Like, you want me? I'm there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about it. The Long Miserable Journey into Happiness. Dive a little bit more into your character and what people can expect.
So this is an extended version of me, just like the Chris and Paul show. We're playing extended versions of ourselves. So I got the idea. This is years ago. I remember sitting in the mailroom, and I worked a late shift. So I was always alone. And when I had nothing to do, I would start playing with a can of soda. And I don't remember what exactly I did, but I go, oh, this is interesting. What if someone watched me do this, but if I struggle with it? So I started, and I'm by myself. It's like 7:30 and at night. I'm waiting for a printer to finish a copy of some PowerPoint. And I started playing with the soda can, trying to open it up, and I'm struggling with it, but I'm playing with myself. Like, I can really open it if I tried. And I laughed at myself. Oh, this is kind of funny. And so I didn't know what to do with that. And then when I met Chris, I go, hey, I had this kind of, this idea of just doing something instead of saying something. And he latched onto that. So now, fast forward 20 years later.
You look like you're 19. Don't worry about it.
Thank you very much. I feel like I've definitely honed that. And now I'm just picking situations to perform and struggle. So my character desperately wants to make people happy. And in my show, I have this small whiteboard. And it's a picture of a happy face and a picture of a sad face. And in between that is a little dot magnet. And as the audience is watching the show, I gauge them and say, are you happy? Are you sad right now? So if I do a bit and I get a big laugh, I'm going to move it. But if they get a semi-laugh, I'm going to recognize that. And I go, oh, so you guys don't like it. They're going to see that. I have a bit where I do a card trick. And you see me struggle with a card trick. And the audience sees what's going on. But the person on stage, because it's also audience interactive, the person on stage doesn't know what's going on. But the people that are watching see me struggle. So stuff like that. Yeah, I'm trying to, trying to be successful, and it's hard to be successful in the comedy business. And the only thing we just want to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. Why not? We're clowns. This is what we do. We make people laugh.
You almost sound like a sad clown, but you're not aware of how sad you are.
I wouldn't say a sad clown. Naive, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah.
Yeah, because I always have a smile on my face. It's always I have the intention of making someone happy, and the intention of doing something good. If I hold on to this phrase, my dad said this years ago, and I hung on to it because I go, oh wow, that's really something. A character that'd be a great character flaw, where his dad years ago said, and I think my dad probably held on this and should seek therapy, but his dad said to him years ago, Paul, you have great intentions, but you can never deliver. I know, and I feel so bad that my dad had to hear that. And this is coming from a man who was adopted also. So it is.
Your dad's awesome too.
I love my dad, and so much of the crap I hear. I go, oh my gosh, that's a character. So I've actually taken real life stories from some of my father's struggles and applied them to my comedy. I'll pay a little homage to Papa P. So my character is like, I have these great intentions, and sometimes I'm not going to deliver, and it's going to fail, and I'm going to fail big. And I'm hoping it laughs, you know? And I'm sure I will, because, I've been doing this for 2.5 years of trying to figure out all these bits, and some of them land really well. I used to call it my show because I didn't know what to call it. I go, this is my show. Mm-hmm. And I've probably done maybe 40 to 50 bits, and then I just honed several of them down to this show, the ones that work the best.
What I love about you, Paul, because we've known each other for a long time, we've worked together for a really long time. Hell, we did a show together for a while.
We did. We had Sketch Block.
What I love about you, Paul, is that you are unafraid to take something, even if it's not edited down, and put it in front of an audience and play with it, kind of like a cat playing with a toy, almost. And you never belittle a space. You're always, always happy to go anywhere in the city to perform, big or small venue. And I love that about you. And also that, you know, as you do this for a long time, you make relationships. Sometimes you break relationships because, you know, artists can be hard to work with. It just seems like everyone loves you and keeps wanting to work with you and always welcome you back, regardless of whatever it may be. What is that? What is that work ethic, and where does it come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very blessed and lucky that people like me. Someone once told me I have a magnetic personality.
You do.
So I just went with that. It doesn't take much to be nice. And maybe it's a flaw I have, but I try to see the best in everyone. Someone says, oh, that person's a real dick. I'm like, are they? I mean, what's behind that? Why are they a dick? Or why do they act a certain way? And people right away write off. Yeah, screw them. I'm not going to bother with them. I know people that, I try to stay friendly with everybody or keep in touch with everyone, but I know several people in my life that I've heard like, oh, I don't like that person because of this, this, and this. And then I would be able to say, well, how much do you know them? And they go, well, you know, I know them because of this show or whatever. I'm like, take them outside of that, because you don't get a full understanding of who they are until you really sit down and talk to somebody. So that's why I'm big on doing lunches. Hey, let's get together. Let's have some fun. Let's talk. Let's just not talk about business. Let's just talk. But there are people that I met that I won't talk to again because I gave them the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, yeah, it's not a good energy. So, but for the most part, I always give people the benefit of the doubt.
Which is great. I mean, you always say thank you. You always are polite, which is always awesome. Yeah. Even when we used to work on Sketchblock together, I'd be crazy because I'm like, the doors are going to open in 5 minutes. You're like, thanks, guys. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks, guys.
I have to give a big shout out to my very first teacher, Susie Lynch. Actually, I just talked to her a couple days ago. She's probably the most loveliest people I ever met. And she told Chris and I years ago, one of the first things she said, when you're in this business, there's two things you have to be, nice and professional. And that stuck with me. So, yeah, I'm being professional, but at the same time, you want to be nicely, you want to be nice, nicely professional. Like, people are professional and they're shrewd. And it's a balance, because sometimes you do things that may not sit well with someone else. I don't want to be apologetic, which I used to do a lot, but I just say, hey, you know what, this is not working and maybe we can figure out something else. But I would never, ever try to, you know, backstab. Yeah. Everything I say, if I have a problem with somebody, I'll just say, hey, this is not working, or I don't like this, or I feel like this is not good, or I'll just, you know, separate myself. But yeah, nice and professional. And thank you, Susie Lynch, for just putting that in me, because that's one of the first things I've learned. And I've taken that with me for the last 20 years.
You also do that with venues, too, I've noticed. You've always been polite, even if the venue is interesting. We've performed some interesting spots in New York City, but you've always been like, oh, yeah, I can work with this. You always found a way to work with a venue, and I appreciate that. I'm sure other people do.
Yeah, there was a venue that we both know that's on the Upper West Side. And I don't care to mention their name. the club's fine. It's Broadway Comedy Club. But that venue was a nice venue. And I was always appreciative of getting space anywhere. And I had issues with one of the people there, but again, gave this person the benefit of the doubt. And when we worked with them a second time, I was still being professional and nice, and they ignored me. So I went about my business. Unfortunately, things unfolded in a bad moment, but we learned something from that. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to work there again. I feel like there's other things that I can do instead of hanging on to it. Just move, go on. But I would never, I'm not going to trash them. I said my piece to these people, and that's it. So I hope that people do get to work at Broadway Comedy Club, and I hope they get success there, because any venue, we need venues. It gives you an opportunity to express your art. So by all means, work anywhere you can. Just if you're meeting someone that's not your cup of tea, just eventually you're going to move on. So just I would say that.
I think I remember that moment, actually. We've known each other for a long time. And you're right. I mean, I've worked in many spaces and worked with people that sometimes that happens, and good for them if they have success. Chilling with Paul Valenti here in New York City at a bookstore, talking about the long, miserable journey to happiness, how he went to Edinburgh the first time, and now he's coming back as a solo with this fabulous show. And Paul, if people in the city want to come and just check you out, because you're not going until August to do this, we know that you perform at Sketchblog. You also perform Fallon Tonight with Adam Hamway. Mm-hmm. Where else could they see you?
Everything's going to be on my website, paulievalenti.com, PAULIEVALENTI. So people get a chance to see me. Also, those ticket sales, half the ticket sales will be going to my fundraiser. So I'm always looking to put something live. I love live stuff. And I'll be posting stuff momentarily. Well, I just launched my website, so I'll be posting stuff on my website. But I have several things coming up in the next month.
Yeah, and you have a GoFundMe account right now to help you get to Edinburgh. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we let you go?
Yeah. It's a fundraiser, which I feel very weird doing. Because I've never done this before. I've always been very supportive, and I think artists need this. I think it's very important that artists have this platform. I praise Indiegogo, Kickstarter, GoFundMe. It's a way for artists to get their word out. I feel like. It's not, I don't say the only way, but I think it's the best way to do it and help someone get to the next level. And I'm very grateful that I have such amazing people in my life that I met over the years. And I want to show them gratitude and hopefully put on a show that they'll enjoy. And you know, if they don't enjoy, then you don't have to donate.
Where do they go to donate, and how long will it be up there for?
I'm going to have it up until I leave. It's Send Paul to Edinburgh if you go to GoFundMe. And I'll be posting it on my Facebook and my website, so people can find it there. But if you search Send Paul to Edinburgh and the GoFundMe, you'll find it.
Great. And now when you're in Edinburgh and there's people that are going to the festival, where can they see your show?
It's going to be at the Laughing Horse. And the Laughing Horse has a venue called the Golf Tavern, which is 30-31 Wright's House in Edinburgh. EH104HR. That means nothing right now to America. They're like, I don't know where this is. But if anyone's listening in Scotland or the UK, it's at the Golf Tavern. It's a new space. I'm very excited about this space. I think it fits my show perfectly. So yeah, if anyone's going to just visit, I actually have a few people that are going to be out there that are going to be in the UK or Scotland. So tell people about it. If you do come see my show and you like it, please tell people about it. Let me make you happy. Let me put a smile on your face.
Yeah, so if you want to see Paul here in New York City, check out his website so you can catch the Chris and Paul show. You can see him at Sketchblock or Fallon Tonight, which usually is at the Pit. And if you're in Edinburgh performing or just going to the festival, check him out at the Golf Tavern.
One last thing I'd like to say. If I've been workshopping this for the last 2.5 years, and Chris O'Neill, who I've been working with for the Chris and Paul show, actually helped me develop some of these bits, so... thank you to Chris O'Neill. I also want to thank Jonathan Smith, who's been taking some of my pictures, and he's been helpful with some of the bits, and Carl Tiedemann, who helped us with the Chris and Paul show, and he's helped me tweak some of my bits. So I've been very blessed to work with some pretty cool people. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody right now. But I will thank them when the time comes, and I go, oh, yeah, I forgot to thank them, and I'll post it.
Go check out the funniest, kindest man you'll meet in comedy. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Let's Chat Comedy, presented by WeMakeTheFunny.com. You can follow WeMakeTheFunny.com on Twitter, @WeMakeTheFunny. And check out the website, WeMakeTheFunny.com, and sign up for our laugh letter. That's right. It's the newsletter, but we call it the laugh letter. It's hilarious.